Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're moving on through St. Matthew with Jesus foretelling Peter's denial, prayer in Gethsemane, betrayal and arrest, Jesus before Caiaphas, and Peter's denial. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or on your favorite podcast provider.
They had Bruce Springsteen narrate it. He's just not qualified to give a message about meeting in the middle when a few weeks ago he was dropping F-bombs about Republicans.
It's not conservatives who gave up on the right to life for children. It's not conservatives who redefined marriage. It's not conservatives who started harassing evangelical bakers or shutting down Catholic adoption agencies. Each and every one of those aggressive actions in the culture war came from the left.
Reason, will. I can always know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I have the ability to interact with anybody, regardless of their background, no matter how severe their unbelief is, because God has made them basically human with these faculties.
There's never any mention of a wife, a fiancé, a betrothed, nothing like that. Never any reference to children. And then church fathers later in the second and third centuries said, no, Jesus had no wife, he has no children. So this is a very modern thing.
Tennessee pastors' wives love listening to Issues Etc. with our Boston Terrier. Pickles, speak.
Good.
Well, I guess no one's really safe from cancel culture. Very popular Star Wars saga, The Mandalorian. Well, it's kind of a tale of two different actors and two different standards. The main star there has made comparisons between immigrant children held in cages to Nazi atrocities. And now his co-star, Gina Carano, made a really rather mild comparison of how the Jews were treated during the early days of the Nazi Party, and she has lost her job. Just a tweet, just a little Instagram post, and she's out. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about Mandalorian actress Gina Carano fired for social media posts with Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire. We'll spend some time with Dr. Ken Sherb in our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, Moses' Farewell Address in Deuteronomy. And then for the second hour of the program, we will conclude our five-part series on the sacred names of God with Dr. Kevin Golden, author of the new book, Blessed Be His Name. Joining us to talk about Mandalorian actress Gina Carano being fired for social media posts, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis and creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. Hans, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Who is Gina Carano and how did she manage to get booted from a much coveted spot on the Mandalorian cast?
Gina Carano is a former women's mixed martial artist turned actor who'd been in a handful of films and scored a role on The Mandalorian show as a sort of fellow bounty hunter of the main character, a character I think by the name of Cara Dune or something of that nature. And Gina Carano is, from what I understand, a pretty politically conservative person. I believe a Trump supporter, had some questions about the legitimacy of Joe Biden's electoral win, and would post a lot of the stuff on Twitter. She also was, at some point, people were badgering her that she should be putting pronouns in her Twitter handle, as her co-star Pedro Pascal had done that. You know, this is one of the ways that you indicate to the woke mob that you're on their side, is you list your pronouns in your profile as a way of sort of showing solidarity with the supposed trans community. And she refused to do it, was sort of bullied on social media for that, apparently had some conversation with him or someone else in the cast where she sort of backtracked a little bit, but did not give the kind of full mea culpa that the woke mob demands. So she put something on Instagram the other day that was an image of sort of image of World War II Jewish ghetto type of thing that was talking about how it is that the Holocaust was made possible and basically how it started with by the Jews being dehumanized by their neighbors. So the point was it never would have worked if these people's own neighbors and their, you know, the children that were growing up around them hadn't been taught to hate them and see them as inhuman for being different. So the kind of the point was this sort of culture of toxic hatred of those who don't share our political views is, you know, kind of the first step in walking down a path that can lead to a very bad direction. So that was just the simple point of the thing that she posted. But the same kind of woke mob that had tried to get her fired from the show before, that had raked her over the coals for not being sufficiently woke and for not having the right politics, finally succeeded at getting Disney to fire her from the show. So Lucasfilm announced yesterday that she was no longer with the show. And then on top of that, her talent agency dropped her as well. So basically, she's kind of at this point been robbed of her career in Hollywood.
A lot of people have suffered at the hands of the woke social media mob to varying degrees, canceled to varying degrees. But is it considered especially egregious to be a conservative and to be on television? In other words, to be a celebrity and being conservative is a more egregious sin than just you and me being conservative.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, this sort of secular progressivism is really its own religion. So, and it's almost like they kind of have this notion that there are certain aspects of society that belong entirely to them, that are their territory and their sacred space. So fame, Hollywood, media, these spaces are supposed to belong to them. And they respond to the presence of someone who doesn't share their religion, you know, the same way that say I would if all of a sudden I came into church one Sunday morning and there was a Muslim guy standing in my pulpit saying that he was planning on delivering the sermon that day, right? Or so I would say, look, if you want to be around at, you know, your place of work, if you want to go to the movies, if you want to hang out at the park, that's fine. But this space doesn't belong to you. This space is mine. It belongs to those who share my confession of faith, and you don't belong here. And to the woke mob, everywhere really is what they consider to be their terrain, but especially Hollywood. So if you are a conservative person, if you're a person who doesn't hold to their beliefs on gender identity or sexuality or any other number of issues, you simply are seen as, you know, the same way that we would view a Muslim in our pulpits, or the way that a Muslim would view a Christian, you know, seeking to lead prayer services at a mosque, that you don't belong here. You don't share our confession of faith. This terrain doesn't belong to you. And so we're going to do whatever is necessary to drive you out of it. I think that's a big part of it. And I think, too, a big problem in our culture today is people have developed the idea that opposing bigotry, however it's defined, is an act of righteousness. And also that being in the public spotlight is also a position of prominence that belongs to the righteous. So I think a lot of times what's happening with cancel culture is, in particular with celebrities or people who are in the public eye, is it's sort of this notion of I'm a good and holy person because I hold to the orthodox true doctrines. You don't. I'm deserving of that position of honor. I deserve to have as many Twitter followers as you do. I deserve to have as many Instagram shares as you do. I deserve to be on successful TV shows and to have the public adulation that you have because I'm righteous and you're not. And so this is my bitter, jealous way of taking away from you the fame and adulation that I think really belong to me.
So I would note that, I guess sometime this morning, someone posted or reposted something that the Mandalorian star Pedro Pascal had, maybe back 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, had posted to Twitter comparing Jews in concentration camps with children in detention centers on the southern border, illegal immigrant children in detention centers. And that didn't seem to bother anybody, making a Nazi comparison there.
Right. Yeah. You're allowed to make Nazi comparisons to Republicans. That's fine. I mean, so when you say, okay, this was, you know, the policy under the Trump administration, this is just like Nazi Germany, Trump is a Nazi, his supporters are Nazis, that's all fine, because it supports the political narrative. And of course, what's so funny about it is that was a much more direct Nazi comparison than what Gina Carano was doing. She was basically just saying, you know, the act of dehumanizing people because they don't share your beliefs, is something that's profoundly dangerous to society. And you know, the Holocaust is the sort of the end of that path. But it wasn't really saying that what Republicans are going through today is what Jews went through. It was just simply saying we're starting to walk down the same path and this is not going to go in a good direction. So if the argument is supposedly that it's so profoundly offensive to make Nazi comparisons where they're inappropriate, Pedro Pascal's was infinitely stronger in that regard. But of course, because it was aimed in a certain political direction, that's perfectly fine. And I think ultimately with this, you know, this just struck me as Disney wanting to get rid of her and just taking the next opportunity they could to do it. So that her politics don't match with those who run the corporation, don't match with those who are running Lucasfilm, don't match with many of the actors on the show. So they were just kind of looking for whatever excuse they could find. And they had to kind of pretend that she was saying something she wasn't really saying so that they could treat this as though it was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Whatever happened to the classical liberal mantra, I disapprove of what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it.
People don't believe it. Yeah, it's dead. I really don't know. I'm not quite sure how we got here beyond the fact that, I just think that all of this stuff is really a religious battle. It is when people cast aside Jesus and they cast aside the Christian faith, then this question arises, well, how is it that I become righteous and good in the eyes of whatever my conception of God is? And people need to come up with an answer for that. And it's just become, I think, increasingly clear that in our culture today, for many people, they are profoundly lazy, they are profoundly corrupted with sin and unwilling to turn away from their various temptations and vices. So they want easy, quick, instant righteousness that where they don't actually have to give up anything to accomplish it. You know, so this is why you've seen the rise of, you know, what people disparagingly refer to as slacktivism, right? So where you bring awareness to a cause by changing your profile picture as opposed to donating your money and your time for the cause. And I think there's something similar with this, where this isn't really about transgender stuff, you know, which is kind of how this all started with Gina Carano. It's not really about the issue of what it means to be male and female. It's about how that just became the kind of the wallpaper that you slap on top of this, or the wrapping paper that you slap on top of this. When the real issue is, if I just say these magical words and assert this position simply by the act of doing so, that makes me holy. And it makes me holier and better and more righteous than other people who don't hold to it, even though I can't tell you why I hold to it now. I mean, so many of these culture war issues, people now hold to the orthodox position on it. They hold to the pro-transgenderism position, but they couldn't even tell you how they got there. They couldn't tell you why they didn't hold to it 10 years ago when nobody held to it. But now, of course, they hold to it. So they adopt the new position. They say, this makes me holy, this makes me righteous, right? So this is similar to, you know, when you see, for example, like in San Francisco, where the city of San Francisco is changing the names of all of these schools because all of these people are racist. Abraham Lincoln is racist. George Washington is racist. And you look at it and it's a bunch of people who have never accomplished anything notable in their life. They've never done anything brave. They've never done anything courageous. They have just simply repeated what they have been told to say as the good, holy, orthodox things. And they want to convince themselves that doing so makes them holier than the people who actually have accomplished something. It's coveting accomplishments and righteousness and coveting bravery and magnificence. So all that happens is that people look out at the world and they say, all right, in order for me to accomplish my holiness, I need to repeat the holy words and then I need to tear down the people who refuse to speak them. That's how I make myself holy. You don't actually want repentance from people. You don't want forgiveness. You don't really want to supposedly make the world a safer place for trans people or whatever their kind of justification for it is. You want people to be the bad guys so that you can point and scream at them and say, they're wicked, evil sinners, and I'm holy and righteous by comparison. And as long as people are rejecting the gospel, as long as people are refusing to look to Jesus and find that what you actually need to stand before God is given to you in the pierced hands and feet of Christ, until folks recognize that that's where true righteousness comes from, we're just going to see more and more of this.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about Mandalorian actress Gina Carano, fired for social media posts. Why is Disney unafraid of losing revenue over actions like this? If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
In the days of King Josiah, the high priest brought out the book of the law and read it in the presence of the king. With newly awakened faith, he restored the people of Israel to the worship of the one true God. So also this month's issue of the Lutheran Witness encourages you to return to the Word. Return to the Word in your prayer. Return to the Word in your daily devotions. Return to the Word that you hear preached and proclaimed from the pulpit. You can read this and more in your issue of the Lutheran Witness. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire is our guest. We're discussing the Mandalorian star Gina Carano, fired for social media posts. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In the February issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, you'll find an outline and guide for reading the Bible. You'll learn how to lead family devotions, and you'll be encouraged to sing God's Word in church and at home. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. Find out more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the Contemporary World from a Lutheran Perspective, the Lutheran Witness Magazine. Hans, let's talk about this impulse you were discussing before the break to kind of seek a righteousness or an innocence by finding other people guilty writ large in a multinational corporation like Disney. Why is Disney unafraid of losing revenue over this?
Well, I think because they're obviously making a ton of money. They're one of the most powerful corporations in the world. They've basically bought all of the intellectual property that makes money at the box office. They're the only people really that are making profitable movies anymore, at least back in the, you know, in the not too distant past where that was a thing that happened. So I think it's a matter of eventually you get so rich and so wealthy that you don't have to worry about losing money because you have so much of it. So then that you can kind of deal with your own existential crisis and your own guilt. So, I think when you look at, the fact that Disney has completely turned a blind eye to the ethnic cleansing that's going on in China because they're in bed with China and they make a ton of money off of China, I think it's just kind of obvious to look at that and see what's going on. And likewise, I was commenting about this on Twitter the other day between Nickelodeon and Disney. There's a very, very, very startling trend of young actors, in particular young women who have been kind of Disney and Nickelodeon tween stars who grow up to be severely sexually dysfunctional and, you know, identifying somewhere along the LGBT spectrum and all of that stuff. And at some point, it just kind of makes you say, all right, well, that, you know, if you see that amount of sexual dysfunction, it's usually indicative that there's some kind of environment of abuse and of mistreatment. And so, you know, that's certainly in the air. You look at the fact that they're making a ton of money off of the Chinese government, which is engaged in all sorts of unethical and evil and absolutely wicked behaviors that are, you know, actually on par with the Nazis. And I think the reality is that people look at that and they have guilty consciences and they want to say, all right, well, I want to show, you know, the people who are in charge of these institutions, I want to show that I'm actually a good person, but I don't want to lose money. So I'm not going to call the Chinese government out, not going to actually lose money on the Chinese end. So sure, we can certainly stand to lose a few subscriptions here and there from conservative people who get angry about this. But I get the sense of righteousness. We'll lose a couple of bucks, but we're making far more than enough money from China that I'm not actually going to have to give up anything serious and anything genuine. So, you know, I mean, if Disney wanted to actually take a real principled stand for properly understanding how we should view the Holocaust, they would stand up to the people who are doing a Holocaust right now. And they're not, which indicates that they're not actually interested in justice and peace in this world. They're interested in making money and then paying a small fee in the loss of conservative subscribers to project the notion of their own righteousness by firing people who don't share their beliefs.
Let's talk a little bit about Nazi comparisons, which are now so utterly common, especially on social media, as to be practically meaningless. Why has this become, both on the right and the left, our go-to position? Pick the worst person and regime you can think of in the last 200 years, and you are that if you disagree with me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's obviously a very cheap way to try to win an argument. It's just the essence of an ad hominem argument, where if I'm having some sort of philosophical disagreement with someone, and if I can make the case that, well, you're Hitler and I'm not Hitler, well, then why on earth should anyone listen to Hitler? Why should I even have to consider my presuppositions if the person I'm arguing against is Hitler? So I think a large part of it is it's a very quick and easy move for people who aren't interested in debate to assert their own righteousness and to give themselves the justification for not having to continue debating. I think that's a big thing, is that typically speaking, when people are confident in their ideas and in their arguments, they want to assert ideas, they want to flesh out ideas, and they want to make arguments. And typically, the people who don't think that they can actually make any kind of compelling argument for the superiority of their case, they tend to try to find excuses to not have to make it. So a lot of it is, I think, that people are, as I've said before, people are looking for instant righteousness. They're looking for an excuse to just say, I'm the good person, you're the evil person. That's the end of the discussion. And I think people are profoundly lazy and stupid, and that they're ignorant of any other kind of aspects of history that they can look at. They don't have the intellectual capacity to actually respond to the arguments that people are making. So they just go for kind of the knockout punch, what they imagine to be the knockout punch right away.
What kind of damage does, I mean, obviously indicates a thoroughly broken system of public discourse, but it also further erodes our ability to even have conversations with one another. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, I think there's kind of two ways you can look at that. I mean, one of which is that it poisons discourse so that we lose, you know, any ability to actually have meaningful discussions with people without immediately making things personal, without immediately attacking people's character. And in a pluralistic society, at least in a good sense of understanding that term, the most important asset that we have to building a peaceful and healthy society is debate, because it means that we have to actually engage ideas and let those ideas compete with each other and find out what actually works and what's real and what's defensible. And likewise, I think kind of the other issue that we run into is that when everybody is a Nazi, nobody's a Nazi. And when everything is literally Hitler, nothing is literally Hitler, which makes it actually more difficult for us to respond the way that we should to the deepest and most profound evils that are in the world today. So, you know, I think when we look at the ethnic cleansing that's going on in China right now, that our nation is ignoring, that the rest of the world is ignoring, a large part of that, I think, comes from because we've been saying Donald Trump is Hitler, or Barack Obama is Hitler, or the guy who lives down the street from you is Hitler. and that you rob that position of kind of profound evil of any real significance. So then it doesn't mean anything when you have to actually take note of something truly terrible that's happening in the world.
I think a part of the goal here, I don't know if it's a concerted effort, but it adds up to this, is to just make people discouraged. These big corporations can treat people however they want to, and you just have to shut up and take it. And a lot of people are like, I'm tired of fighting.
Right. I think that's a lot of it, is it's meant to kind of discourage any kind of outspokenness. Just indicate to people, if you depart from the orthodox talking points, this is going to be your fate. It's meant to show, you know, so when Disney does this, and when, despite all of the efforts of, you know, despite everyone canceling their things, when it doesn't matter and it doesn't work, the same thing happened, you know, with Netflix, and when, and people like me who, you know, canceled their Netflix subscriptions after that Godless Cuties movie came out on their platform, and they just simply ignore it and keep making money. And what that's meant to indicate to people is, you don't matter. Your objections don't matter. We're just going to steamroll you. We control every aspect of society. We control what information you're allowed to have. We control what entertainment you're allowed to have. So if you want to be a part of this world, you're not allowed to speak these things out loud. We'll destroy your life and the lives of anyone associated with you.
You mentioned earlier that progressives can make a Holocaust argument, but conservatives aren't allowed to. Why should Christians not engage in these kind of double standards?
Yeah, I think as Christians, it's important for us to recognize that we don't need necessarily to compare sins to other sins in order to highlight their sinfulness. We should just be able to do that based upon the principle of loving your neighbor and of loving God. Now, I don't think that what Gina Carano did was by any means inappropriate. I thought it was a perfectly appropriate thing to say, of just saying to people, like, look, this is the direction you're going to go. You know, in the same way that, you know, when we talk about abortion, or even if we're, say, talking about a contraceptive culture and the way that we view birth control, how it fosters a culture that treats children as trinkets and accessories in our lives rather than gifts of God, and how that leads to the kind of dehumanizing view of children that leads to abortion on demand. So I'm not at all saying that practicing birth control is morally the same as practicing abortion, but the point is simply, you start at one spot, that's the likely spot that you could end up if things don't change. So I don't think, on the one hand, that what she was saying was by any means wrong and inappropriate. But obviously, I do think it's helpful for Christians if we can kind of just focus on the idea, focus on the dignity of our fellow man that God has given us, talking about, you know, what it means to be created in the image of God and to be respected and honored according to that. And I think that the more that we can focus on those things, the more that we can focus on just simply speaking about things through the lens of the scriptures, the better off it will be.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis. He is creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. We'll post a link to Lutheran Satire on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Hans, thanks.
Good to be here.
Dr. Ken Cherb joins us on the other side. We continue our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. Today, Moses' farewell address in Deuteronomy chapter 11. How can Christians engage the culture on topics like science, politics, depression, sexuality, personhood, and more? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Faith That Engages the Culture. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. Faith That Engages the Culture is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Faith That Engages the Culture.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're moving on through St. Matthew with Jesus foretelling Peter's denial, prayer in Gethsemane, betrayal and arrest, Jesus before Caiaphas, and Peter's denial. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or on your favorite podcast provider.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.